Orthodoxy and the Religion of the Future by Father Seraphim Rose. Chapter 4. Eastern Meditation Invades Christianity. As an answer to the question of the possibility of a, quote, dialogue of Orthodox Christianity with the various non-Christian religions, the reader has been presented the testimony of three Orthodox Christians who confirm, on the basis of Orthodox doctrine and their own experience, what the Orthodox Church has always taught, that Orthodox Christians do not at all have the, quote, same God as the so-called, quote, monotheists, who deny that the gods of the pagans are in fact demons, and that the experiences and powers which the pagan, quote, gods can and do provide are satanic in nature. All this in no way contradicts the words of Saint Peter, that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is acceptable to him. Acts 10:34-35. Or through the words of Saint Paul, that God in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good, and gave us rain from heaven, and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Acts 14:17. Those who live in the bondage of Satan, the prince of this world, John 12:31, in darkness which is unenlightened by the Christian gospel, are judged in the light of that natural testimony of God which every man may have, despite this bondage. For the Christian, however, who has been given God's revelation, no, quote, dialogue is possible with those outside the faith. But ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6:14-17. The Christian calling is rather to bring the light of Orthodox Christianity to them, even as Saint Peter did to the God-fearing household of Cornelius the centurion, Acts 10:34-48, in order to enlighten their darkness and join them to the chosen flock of Christ's church. All of this is obvious enough to Orthodox Christians, who are aware of and faithful to the truth of God's revelation in the Church of Christ. But many who consider themselves Christians have very little awareness of the radical difference between Christianity and all other religions, and some who may have this awareness have very little discernment in the area of, quote, spiritual experiences, a discernment that has been practiced and handed down in Orthodox patristic writings and lives of saints for nearly 2,000 years. In the absence of such awareness and discernment, the increasing presence of Eastern religious movements in the West, especially in the past decade or two, has caused great confusion in the minds of many would-be Christians. The case of Thomas Merton comes immediately to mind. A sincere convert to Roman Catholicism and Catholic monasticism some 40 years ago, long before the radical reforms of Vatican II, he ended his days proclaiming the equality of Christian religious experiences and the experience of Zen Buddhism and other pagan religions. Something has, quote, entered the air in these past two decades or so that has eroded whatever remained of a sound Christian outlook in Protestantism and Roman Catholicism, and now is attacking the Church itself, Holy Orthodoxy. The, quote, dialogue with non-Christian religions, end quote, is a result rather than a cause of this new, quote, spirit. In this chapter, we shall examine some of the Eastern religious movements which have been influential in the 1970s, with special emphasis on the attempts to develop a syncretism of Christianity and Eastern religions, particularly in the realm of, quote, spiritual practices. Such attempts, more often than not, cite the Philokalia and the Eastern Orthodox tradition of contemplative prayer as being more kin to Eastern spiritual practices than anything that exists in the West. It is time enough, then, to point out clearly the great abyss that exists between Christian and non-Christian, quote, spiritual experience, and why the religious philosophy that underlies this new syncretism is false and dangerous. Section 1, quote, Christian Yoga. Hindu yoga has been known in the West for many decades, and especially in America, it has given rise to innumerable cults and also to a popular form of physical therapy which is supposedly non-religious in its aims. Nearly 20 years ago, a French Benedictine monk wrote of his experiences in making yoga a, quote, Christian discipline. The description that follows is taken from his book. Hindu yoga is a discipline that presupposes a rather abstemious, disciplined life, and is composed of breath control and certain physical postures which produce a state of relaxation in which one meditates, usually with the help of a mantra or sacred utterance which aids concentration. The essence of yoga is not the discipline itself, but the meditation which is its end. The author is correct when he writes, quote, "The aims of Hindu yoga are spiritual. It is tantamount to treason to forget this and retain only the purely physical side of this ancient discipline, to see it in no more than a means towards bodily health or beauty," end quote. To this, it should be added that the person who uses yoga only for physical well-being is already disposing himself towards certain spiritual attitudes, and even experiences of which he is undoubtedly unaware. Of this, more will be said below. The same author then continues, quote, "The art of the yogi is to establish himself in complete silence, to empty himself of all thoughts and illusions, to discard and forget everything but this one idea. Man's true self is divine. It is God, and the rest is silence," end quote. The idea, of course, is not Christian, but pagan. But the aim of, quote, Christian yoga is to use the technique of yoga for a different spiritual end, for a, quote, Christian meditation. The object of the yoga technique, in this view, is to make one relaxed, content, unthinking, and passive or receptive to spiritual ideas and experiences. Quote, "As soon as you have taken up the posture, you will feel your body relaxing and a general feeling of well-being will establish itself in you," end quote. The exercises produce an, quote, "extraordinary sense of calm." Quote, "To begin with, one gets the feeling of a general unwinding, of a well-being taking hold, of a euphoria that will, and in fact does, last. If one's nerves have been tense and overstrung, the exercises calm them, and fatigue disappears in a little time." Quote, "The goal of all his, the yogi's, efforts is to silence the thinking self in him by shutting his eyes to every kind of enticement." End quote. The euphoria which yoga brings, quote, "could well be called a state of health that allows us to do more and do it better on the human plane to begin with, and on the Christian religious spiritual plane afterwards. The most apt word to describe it is contentedness. A contentedness that inhabits body and soul and predisposes us toward the spiritual life," end quote. One's whole personality can be changed by it. Quote, "Hatha yoga influences character to the good. One man, after some weeks of practice, admits he no longer knows himself, and everyone notices a change in his bearing and reaction. He is gentler and more understanding. He faces experience calmly. He is content. his whole personality has been altered, and he himself feels it steadying and opening out. From this, there arises an almost permanent condition of euphoria, of contentedness, end quote. But all of this is only a preparation for a, quote, spiritual aim, which begins to make itself felt in a very short time. Quote, by becoming contemplative in a matter of weeks, my prayer had been given a particular and novel cast, end quote. Becoming extraordinarily calm, the author notices, quote, the ease I felt in entering into prayer, in concentrating on a subject, end quote, one becomes, quote, more receptive to impulses and promptings from heaven. Quote, the practice of yoga makes for increased suppleness and receptivity, and thus for openness to those personal exchanges between God and the soul that mark the way of the mystical life. End quote. Even for the, quote, apprentice yogi, prayer becomes, quote, sweet and, quote, embraces the whole of man, end quote. One is relaxed and, quote, ready to tremble at the touch of the Holy Ghost to receive and welcome what God in his goodness thinks fit to let us experience. Quote, we shall be making our being ready to be taken, to be seized. And this is surely one of the forms, in fact, the highest of Christian contemplation, end quote. Quote, every day the exercises, and indeed the whole ascetic discipline of my yoga, make it easier for the grace of Christ to flow in me. I feel my hunger for God growing, and my thirst for righteousness, and my desire to be a Christian in the full strength of the word, end quote. Anyone who understands the nature of prelest or spiritual deception will recognize in this description of, quote, Christian yoga, precisely the characteristics of those who have gone spiritually astray, whether into pagan religious experiences or sectarian, quote, Christian experiences. The same striving for, quote, holy and divine feelings, the same openness and willingness to be, quote, seized by a spirit, the same seeking not for God but for, quote, spiritual consolations, the same self-intoxication which is mistaken for a, quote, state of grace, the same incredible ease with which one becomes, quote, contemplative or, quote, mystical, the same, quote, mystical revelations and pseudo-spiritual states. These are all common characteristics of all who are in this particular state of spiritual deception. But the author of Christian Yoga, being a Benedictine monk, adds some particular, quote, meditations which reveal him as fully in the spirit of the Roman Catholic, quote, meditation of recent centuries, with its free play of fantasies on Christian themes. Thus, for example, having meditated on a theme of the Christian Eve Mass, he begins to see the child in the arms of his mother. Quote, I gaze, nothing more. Pictures, ideas, associations of ideas, Savior, King, Light, Halo, Shepherd, Child, Light again, come one after another, march past. All these pieces of a sacred puzzle taken together arouse one idea in me, a silent vision of the whole mystery of Christmas. End quote. Anyone with the slightest knowledge of Orthodox spiritual discipline will see that this pitiable, quote, Christian yogi has fallen handily into a trap set by one of the lesser demons that lie in wait for the seeker of, quote, spiritual experiences. He has not even seen an, quote, angel of light, but has only given way to his own, quote, religious fancies, the product of a heart and mind totally unprepared for spiritual warfare and the deceptions of the demons. Such, quote, meditation is being practiced today in a number of Roman Catholic convents and monasteries. The fact that the book concludes with an article by the French translator, of, together with excerpts from the Philokalia, only reveals the abyss that separates these dilettantes from the true spirituality of orthodoxy, which is totally inaccessible to the modern, quote, wise men who no longer understand its language. A sufficient indication of the author's incompetence in understanding the Philokalia is the fact that he gives the name, quote, prayer of the heart, which in Orthodox tradition is the highest mental prayer, acquired by very few only after many years of ascetic struggle and being humbled by a true God-bearing elder, to the easy trick of reciting syllables in rhythm with the heartbeat. We shall comment more fully below on the dangers of this, quote, Christian yoga, when noting what it possesses in common with other forms of, quote, Eastern meditation, which are being offered to Christians today. Section 2, quote, Christian Zen. An Eastern religious practice on a more popular level is offered in the book of an Irish Catholic priest, William Johnston, Christian Zen. The author starts from basically the same place as the author of Christian Yoga, a feeling of dissatisfaction with Western Christianity, a desire to give it a dimension of contemplation or meditation. Quote, many people, discontented with old forms of prayer, discontented with the old devotions that once served so well, are looking for something that will satisfy the aspirations of the modern heart. Quote, contact with Zen has opened up new vistas, teaching me that there are possibilities in Christianity I never dreamed of. End quote. One may, quote, practice Zen as a way of deepening and broadening his Christian faith. End quote. The technique of Japanese Zen is very similar to that of Indian yoga, from which it is ultimately derived, although it is rather simpler. There is the same basic posture, but not the variety of postures of yoga, breathing technique, the repetition of a sacred name if desired, as well as other techniques particular to Zen. The aim of these techniques is the same as that of yoga, to abolish rational thinking and attain a state of calm, silent meditation. The sitting position, quote, impedes discursive reasoning and thinking, and enables one to go, quote, down to the center of one's being in imageless and silent contemplation, to, quote, a deep and beautiful realm of psychic life, to, quote, deep interior silence, end quote. The experience thus attained is somewhat similar to that achieved by taking drugs, for, quote, people who have used drugs understand a little about Zen, since they have been awakened to the realization that there is a depth in the mind worth exploring, end quote. And yet this experience opens up a new approach to Christ, an approach that is less dualistic and more, quote, oriental. Even absolute beginners in Zen can attain, quote, a sense of union and an atmosphere of supernatural presence, end quote. A savoring of, quote, mystical silence. Through Zen, the state of contemplation hitherto restricted to a few, quote, mystics can be, quote, broadened out, and, quote, all may have vision, all may reach samadhi, end quote, enlightenment. The author of Christian Zen speaks of the renewal of Christianity, but he admits that the experience he thinks can bring it about may be had by anyone, Christian or non-Christian. Quote, I believe that there is a basic enlightenment which is neither Christian nor Buddhist nor anything else. It is just human, end quote. Indeed, at a convention on meditation at a Zen temple near Kyoto, quote, the surprising thing about the meeting was lack of any common faith, No one seemed the slightest bit interested in what anyone else believed or disbelieved, and no one, as far as I can recall, even mentioned the name of God." End quote. This agnostic character of meditation has a great advantage for, quote, missionary purposes. For, quote, "In this way, meditation can be taught to people who have little faith, to those who are troubled in conscience or fear that God is dead. Such people can always sit and breathe. For them, meditation becomes a search, and I have found that people who begin to search in this way eventually find God. Not the anthropomorphic God they have rejected, but the great being in whom we live, move, and are." End quote. The author's description of the Zen, quote, enlightenment experience reveals its basic identity with the, quote, cosmic experience provided by shamanism and many pagan religions. Quote, "I myself believe that within us are locked up torrents and torrents of joy that can be released by meditation. Sometimes they will burst through with incredible force, flooding the personality with an extraordinary happiness that comes from one knows not where." End quote. Interestingly, the author, on returning to America after 20 years in Japan, found this experience to be very close to the Pentecostal experience, and he himself received the, quote, "baptism of the Spirit" at a, quote, "charismatic meeting." The author concluded, quote, "Returning to the Pentecostal meeting, it seems to me that the imposition of hands, the prayers of the people, the charity of the community, these can be forces that release the psychic power that brings enlightenment to the person who has been consistently practicing Zazen." End quote. We shall examine in the 7th chapter of this book the nature of the Pentecostal or, quote, "charismatic experience." Little need be said in criticism of these views. They are basically the same as those of the author of Christian Yoga, only less esoteric and more popular. Anyone who believes that the agnostic, pagan experience of Zen can be used for a, quote, "contemplative renewal within Christianity," surely knows nothing whatever of the great contemplative tradition of Orthodoxy, which presupposes burning faith, true belief, and intense ascetic struggle. And yet, the same author does not hesitate to drag the Philokalia and the, quote, "great Orthodox schools" into his narrative, stating that they also lead to the condition of, quote, "contemplative silence and peace," and are an example of, quote, "Zen within the Christian tradition." And he advocates the use of the prayer of Jesus during Zen meditation for those who wish this. Such ignorance is positively dangerous, especially when the possessor of it invites the students at his lectures as an experiment in, quote, mysticism to, quote, sit in Zazen for 40 minutes each evening. How many sincere, misguided false prophets there are in the world today, each thinking he is bringing benefit to his fellow men, instead of an invitation to psychic and spiritual disaster. Of this we shall speak more in the conclusion below. Section 3. Transcendental Meditation. The technique of Eastern meditation known as, quote, "transcendental meditation," or, quote, TM for short, has attained such popularity in a few years, especially in America, and is advocated in such an outrageously flippant tone that any serious student of contemporary religious currents will be inclined at first to dismiss it as merely an overinflated product of American advertising and showmanship. But this would be a mistake, for in its serious claims, it does not differ markedly from yoga and Zen, and a close look at its techniques reveals it as perhaps more authentically, quote, Eastern than either of the somewhat artificial syncretisms, quote, Christian yoga and, quote, Christian Zen. According to one standard account of this movement, quote, transcendental meditation was brought to America, where it has had its most spectacular success, by a rather, quote, unorthodox Indian yogi, Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, and began to grow noticeably about 1961. In 1967, it received widespread publicity when the popular singers known as the, quote, Beatles were converted to it and gave up drugs, but they soon abandoned the movement, although they continued to meditate. And the Maharishi hit his low point in the next year when his American tour, together with another convert singing group called the, quote, Beach Boys, was abandoned as a financial failure. The movement itself, however, continued to grow. By 1971, there were some 100,000 meditators following it, with 2,000 specially trained instructors, making it already by far the largest movement of, quote, Eastern spirituality in America. In 1975, the movement reached its peak, with about 40,000 trainees a month and upwards of 600,000 followers in all. During these years, it was widely used in the army, public schools, prisons, hospitals, and by church groups, including parishes of the Greek Archdiocese in America, as a supposedly neutral form of, quote, mental therapy, which is compatible with any kind of religious belief or practice. The, quote, TM course is one especially tailored to the technique, just like brushing your teeth. The Maharishi has been strongly criticized by other Hindu yogis for cheapening the long tradition of yoga in India by making this esoteric practice available to the masses for money. The charge in 1975 was $125 for the course, $65 for college students, and progressively less for high school, junior high school, and very young children. In its aims, presuppositions, and results, quote, TM does not differ markedly from, quote, Christian yoga or, quote, Christian Zen. It differs from them chiefly in the simplicity of its techniques and of its whole philosophy, and in the ease with which its results are attained. Like them, quote, TM does not require any belief, understanding, moral code, or even agreement with the ideas and philosophy, end quote. It is a technique, pure and simple, which, quote, is based on the natural tendency of the mind to move toward greater happiness and pleasure. During transcendental meditation, your mind is expected to follow whatever is most natural and most pleasant. Quote, transcendental meditation is a practice first and a theory afterwards. It is essential at the beginning that an individual does not think intellectually at all. End quote. The technique which the Maharishi has devised is invariably the same at all, quote, TM centers throughout the world. After two introductory lectures, one pays the fee and then comes for, quote, initiation, bringing with him a seemingly strange collection of articles, always the same. 3 pieces of sweet fruit, at least 6 fresh flowers, and a clean handkerchief. These are placed in a basket and taken to the small, quote, initiation room, where they are placed on a table before a portrait of the Maharishi's guru, from whom he received his initiation into yoga. On the same table, a candle and incense are burning. The disciple is alone in the room with his teacher, who is himself required to have received initiation and to have been instructed by the Maharishi personally. The ceremony before the portrait lasts for half an hour and is composed of soft singing in Sanskrit, with meaning unknown to the initiate, and a chanting of the names of past, quote, masters of yoga. At the end of the ceremony, the initiate is given a, quote, mantra, a secret Sanskrit word which he is to repeat ceaselessly during meditation, and which no one is to know except his teacher. The English translation of this ceremony is never revealed to initiates. It is available only to teachers and initiators themselves. It is contained in an unpublished handbook called, quote, The Holy Tradition, and its text has now been printed by the, quote, Spiritual Counterfeits Project in Berkeley as a separate pamphlet. This ceremony is nothing but a traditional Hindu ceremony of worship of the gods, puja, including the deified guru of the Maharishi, Sri Guru Dev, and the whole line of, quote, masters through which he himself received his initiation. The ceremony ends with a series of 22, quote, offerings made to the Maharishi's guru, each ending with the words, quote, To Shri Guru Dev, I bow down. The initiator himself bows down before a portrait of Guru Dev at the end of the ceremony and invites the initiate to do likewise. Only then is the latter initiated. The bowing is not absolutely required of the initiate, but the offerings are. Thus, the modern agnostic, usually quite unawares, has been introduced to the realm of Hindu religious practices. Quite easily, he has been made to do something to which his own Christian ancestors, perhaps, had preferred torture and cruel death. He has offered sacrifice to pagan gods. On the spiritual plane, it may be this sin, rather than the psychic technique itself, that chiefly explains the spectacular success of, quote, TM. Once he has been initiated, the student of, quote, TM meditates twice daily for 20 minutes each time, precisely the same amount recommended by the author of Christian Yoga, letting the mind wander freely and repeating the mantra as often as he thinks of it. Frequently, one's experiences are checked by his teacher. Quite soon, even on the first attempt, one begins to enter a new level of consciousness, which is neither sleep nor wakefulness, the state of, quote, transcendental meditation. Quote, transcendental meditation produces a state of consciousness unlike anything we've known before, and the closest to that state of Zen developed after many years of intense study. Quote, in contrast to the years that must be spent to master other religious disciplines and yoga, which offers the same results that TM proponents claim, teachers say TM can be taught in a matter of minutes, end quote. Some who have experienced it describe it as a, quote, state of fulfillment, similar to some drug experiences, but the Maharishi himself describes it in traditional Hindu terms. Quote, this state lies beyond all seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, and tasting, beyond all thinking and feeling. This state of the unmanifested, absolute, pure consciousness of being is the ultimate state of life. Quote, when an individual has developed the ability to bring this deep state to the conscious level on a permanent basis, he is said to have reached cosmic consciousness, the goal of all meditators, end quote. In the advanced stages of, quote, TM, the basic yoga positions are taught, but they are not necessary to the success of the basic technique, nor is any ascetic preparation required. once one has attained the, quote, transcendental state of being, all that is required of one is 20 minutes of meditation twice daily, since this form of meditation is not at all a separate way of life, as in India, but rather a discipline for those who lead an active life. The Maharishi's distinction lies in having brought this state of consciousness to everyone, not just a chosen few. There are numerous success stories for, quote, TM, which claims to be effective in almost all cases. Drug habits are overcome, families are reunited, one becomes healthy and happy. The teachers of TM are constantly smiling, bubbling over with happiness. Generally, TM does not replace other religions, but strengthens belief in almost anything. Quote, Christians, whether Protestant or Catholic, also find that it makes their belief and practice more meaningful and deeper. The swift and easy success of, while it is symptomatic of the waning influence of Christianity on contemporary mankind, has also led to its early decline. Perhaps more than any other movement of, quote, Eastern spirituality, it has had the character of a, quote, fad, and the Maharishi's announced aim to, quote, initiate the whole of humanity is evidently doomed to failure. After the peak year of 1975, enrollment in, quote, TM courses has steadily declined, so much so that in 1977, the organization announced the opening of a whole new series of, quote, advanced courses, obviously devised in order to regain public interest and enthusiasm. These courses are intended to lead initiates to the, quote, siddhis, or, quote, supernatural powers of Hinduism, walking through walls, becoming invisible, levitating and flying through the air, and the like. The courses have generally been greeted with cynicism, even though a, quote, TM brochure features a photograph of a, quote, levitating meditator. See Time Magazine, August 8, 1977, page 75. Whether or not the courses, which cost up to $3,000, will produce the claimed results, which are in the province of the traditional, quote, fakirs of India, quote, TM itself stands revealed as a passing phase of the occult interest in the second half of the 20th century. Already, many examples have been publicized of, quote, TM teachers and disciples alike who have been afflicted with the common maladies of those who dabble in the occult: mental and emotional illness, suicide, attempted murder, demonic possession. In 1978, a United States federal court came to the decision that, quote, TM is indeed religious in nature and may not be taught in public schools. This decision will undoubtedly further limit the influence of, quote, TM, which, however, will probably continue to exist as one of the many forms of meditation which many see as compatible with Christianity. Another sad sign of the times. This concludes part 4 of the reading of Orthodoxy and the Religion of the Future by Father Seraphim Rose. Be sure to like, share, and subscribe. Below are the links to the music used and my social media. Thank you, and God bless.